Well, hello there. My name is HW. And thank you so much for listening to the Tone Junkie Podcast. This is episode 87. My, how far we've come. Well, let's get into it. This is going to be a little different of a podcast episode. And I don't know why I haven't been doing podcast episodes. It might be that I have been afraid I would say something about the election or something. And so I just focused on making videos and, you know, other content, memes and the like. Hang on, let me grab a beverage here. Yeah. And we've done a lot of these podcasts, you know. We've done a lot of them, and I almost think there's been different eras of the podcast already, and we're not even 100 episodes in, but I saw some posts. People said, I wonder if we're going to get more podcasts this year. David said that. I saw another post that said somebody said they had it was their most watched podcast of the year, most listened to podcast. And I got some ideas. I got some ideas going forward. But this is a different kind of episode because I've done the podcast from California. I've done it in Los Angeles. That's kind of the same place, isn't it? I've done it from Nashville. I've done it from NAMM. I've done the podcast in my home, on my porch. I've had a myriad of beverages. Starbucks, I've done it from my old office. We don't have that office anymore. Because life changes, you know? Life just changes. And sometimes life just kicks you in the pants. That's where I'm at right now. I'm going to tell you how I got here, but because this is a different kind of episode, I think. But it's one that should be memorialized. Maybe we'll call this the one where HW got COVID, because that's what happened to me. And it's I'm a little short of breath. That's why I might sound it. And so you might think, HW, doing a podcast is the last thing you should be doing. But, you know, COVID, coronavirus, you can cancel, you know, you cancel Thanksgiving, okay? But you can't cancel Tone Junkie. You can't cancel the Tone Junkie podcast, episode 87. It's coming at you no matter what. Live from 9 East Carroll Avenue in Burlingame, California. Oh, man, so where to begin? My wife and my family, we all came out to California a couple weeks ago, and we decided we needed to come see my wife's dad. She was he was not doing that well. He has stage 5 cancer, and so we came out here, and we saw him, and it was great. And we turned around, and we went back, and we had agreed that my wife would come in about a month, and come see her dad again. Or if we kind of got a phone call that that she needed to come sooner. Well, we got that phone call, but it was like it was about a week before Thanksgiving. And so last minute, we decided we didn't want to be apart on Thanksgiving. And so we all flew out to California here. And we landed on a Monday night, the Monday before Thanksgiving, at my dad's house, and we spent the night there. And my wife got up early Tuesday morning and left the next morning and left, went to her dad's. And I stayed with the kids and my dad. My mom came over, and we just hung out. And, you know, we had some plans later that week. We didn't know where exactly we were going to spend Thanksgiving, because everything was a little bit up in the air. If my father-in-law, you know, was going to, how stable he was, we wanted to put some eyes on him and see him. So my wife comes home late Monday night. I'm already in bed. And early Tuesday morning, 5 o'clock in the morning, she gets up. I see her walking out the door. I say, hey, where are you going? And she says, I'm going to get tested. I feel really sick. I had chills all night, and I'm coughing, and I have a headache. Well, she tested positive for the coronavirus, so we panicked. Not panicked, really. But I realized at that moment I needed to get out of my dad's house because he hadn't really been around my wife much. And I thought, we might have it. He might have it. I don't know who's got it. But we got to quarantine people. I didn't see a way to do that at his place. So we went on Airbnb and we found a house. It was the only one we could find really, you know, around that had a separate room and bathroom for my wife that I could put her in a room and shut the door, kind of lock her away. Hopefully the rest of us didn't get it. Well, anyway, we got the Airbnb 2 weeks. And maybe we all ended up getting symptoms. And then we realized everyone my wife saw on Tuesday all got it. So far, there's 8 cases of coronavirus stemming from my wife. And I'll tell you, man, we're not people who have not been careful about this. In March, you know, I basically told my church I couldn't play for a while. And I went and started working from home. And a lot of people remember I just started doing a lot of videos in March. And we didn't see anybody outside our bubble of 8 people. We got together with another family. And outside of that bubble of 8 people, our family and one other family, outside of that bubble, we didn't see anybody for like 11 weeks. We didn't even eat takeout food for 11 weeks. We put our grocery list together and we went shopping together to minimize the amount of trips outside of our bubble. And, you know, it worked. It worked, but I mean, we had so few coronavirus cases in Tennessee at the time, it didn't really matter. Now it's spiking everywhere, and we don't know where we got it. We don't know if it was before we left. We don't know if it was the travel day. We just don't know. But, you know, we don't really mix around people without masks and stuff. So, you know, I don't know. But I'll tell you, my experience with this, this thing is no joke, man. So, the people, my wife got it. It went to the 4 of us. My dad ended up getting it. He's sick now. My wife's aunt ended up getting it, who she saw that first day she was in town. My wife's aunt and both of my father-in-law's caregivers, he's on hospice. He has 24-hour caregivers. He's right at the end of his life. And, I mean, he could go any day, and he probably will go any day. I mean, any moment. He's really barely there. 2 of his caregivers, you know, my wife's aunt, my dad, and the 4 of us all got it. And this thing is contagious, I'll tell you. Because that was just in the 12 hours before symptoms. You know, everybody who my wife saw in those 12 hours before her symptoms seemed to get coronavirus without exception. The only people who didn't get it are her brothers, who both had it already. So here we are. Now, we've all got kind of different symptoms and stuff. It's strange. I don't know if people want to hear this. I don't know. I don't know. But don't worry. We'll bring this back to Profiles or Reverb or something. 87 episodes in. You doubt me? Do you doubt HW? We'll get there. We will get there, my friend. But it's humbling to get sick like this and everybody around you to get sick like this, because all of a sudden you just start praying nobody dies, you know? you remember that control is an illusion and it just goes out the window. You know? Look at me, Mr. Genius, because I put some money into Tesla. Everybody who puts money into Tesla makes money. HW, that doesn't make you a genius. Look at me. I have a lot of adjectives for tone. Makes me look like a guy who has something to say. But at the end of the day, control is an illusion. Control is an illusion. For me, I just felt a little sick. You know, I got chills. And the chills were going all over my body. I didn't have a headache. My wife had a bad headache. And she had a cough. I didn't have a cough. I had these aches all over my legs. It was sensitive to touch, my legs. And it was all in my lower back and my legs. And then the next day, it was completely in my upper body. And my back just felt like someone had beat me with a baseball bat. My dad had the same thing. He said, oh my gosh, I had all these chills and now just this intense lower back pain. And that's a viral thing that can happen with any virus. You get inflammation and it can concentrate somewhere. And for me and my dad, it concentrated in our lower back. And I had people tell me, you know, after about a week is when theirs got worse. And I have felt like I've been feeling better the past 2 days. But all of a sudden today, I feel something in my breath. I feel it when I inhale. It's like a restriction. It feels like asthma or something, like bronchitis. Like you can't quite get a deep enough breath. And say la vie. I don't think it's my time, so I think I'll be fine. My dad's got asthma, though, and he's in his 60s, so I'm a bit worried about him. I tried calling him about an hour ago. He didn't answer. I might have to go drive by there tonight, make sure he's okay. I think he's just sleeping, though. I talked to him earlier. He had no shortness of breath, so I think he's fine. It's funny, you know, you get worried about everybody, and your kid, luckily my kids have no symptoms right now. My oldest son, Oliver, has remained symptom-free. My youngest son, Leo, he had a headache for like the first day, like maybe a day after I got sick. It was my wife got sick. I got sick the next day. And I tested negative, by the way. I tested negative, and then I had symptoms about 12 hours later. My wife gave it to everybody in like the 12 hours before her symptoms, and she tested positive. So it's possible that I just took a test too early, but I definitely have it. This is not, now I've got the shortness of breath thing. I'd bet my shares in Tesla. This is COVID-19, brother. So I've been just drinking and pissing like a racehorse. I mean, every 3 hours, I feel like I get up to pee at night because I'm just drinking so much. Because what else can you do when you're sick? What else can you do with this thing? They don't give you anything at the hospital, you know? So I check my oxygen, though. I'm fine. But we still got to profile the world. And we will. We are going to profile the world. I got the Blues Junior in today, and thank you to British Audio. They sent me a Kemper. Because, you know, look, the world doesn't stop spinning. And that means there are still amps that need to be captured. So, you know, just move over, COVID, okay? We get it. You know, you freaking media whore, you know, taking up all the headlines and stuff like nothing else is going on, you know? If it's not the election, it's the sickness thing. Can we just get some good news in there or something? You know? What's her name? Ahsoka Tano was just on Mandalorian, you know? Ahsoka Tano? I can't remember. Anyway, the Orange Jedi chick that everybody likes. Rosario Dawson, she just played her, and she's just on The Mandalorian. Is anyone watching The Mandalorian? Jon Favreau is single-handedly saving the entire Star Wars franchise after Disney has decided to, have their way with it. Can we get something good in the news here? Thanks. Appreciate it. But anyway, I got to Blues Jr. because I started thinking, you know, HW, you always get the question, how do I profile my amp at home? Should I profile my amps? What do you use? And if I start telling people, well, here's all the gear I use, it starts to get cost prohibitive. I have, things like mic pre's are just absurdly expensive anyway. I mean, even compared to guitar stuff, they're just expensive. You know, I have some BAE Neve clones. Each preamp is like $1,500. It's $3,000 for two preamps. $2,000 for the preamps. $3,000 for the preamp. What am I saying here? I better be careful. Confusion is one of the symptoms. $3,000 just for the preamps to use behind the microphones for a dual amp setup. You know, for some of the setup I use, and then I got some APIs and I got some 2Vs, and they're good. I like those 2Vs probably the best of anything, to be honest. They're Neve inspired, but they're not a Neve clone. But it's very much Neve inspired. But you know that, and then the microphone locker. I mean, a 121 is like $1,200. You know, and then you got the cheaper ones. You got the 906 and the 57, and Dynamics are, you know, very affordable. You know, and Fatheads, you know, two matched Fatheads are, that'll be $1,200, I think, something like that. So look, all I'm saying is this. It just, you know, I could show you my setup, but I'm profiling amps all the time, right? So it makes sense for me to invest in some gear. But I thought, you know, HW, why don't you answer the question? You got this house here and you got this full thing, and you just go for it. You know, you got there's like a weird closet upstairs, and you got all these pillows, and you know, people have pillows and closets, you know, they got garages. And so why don't you profile an amp here? So I ordered a Blues Junior, brand new Blues Junior, and British Audio sent me a Kemper. Shout out to British Audio. If you have any Kemper needs, please go to the guys at British Audio. They're just so good. The shipping to me was so fast. I literally called. It was shipped within 15 minutes. I said, Shane, I am having the worst week. I lost my wallet, by the way, on the way out here too. And then, I don't need it yet to go back. I'm stuck out here in California for, you know, 2 or 3 weeks. And then we got to do the funeral. Oh, when life gives you lemon peels. You have a flash sale tonight only. Tone Junkie flash sale. No. Oh, gosh. I crack me up. No, it's... life is full of twists and turns. I didn't plan to be here. I have a lot of amps at home that need to be done. I had an idea of what I was going to finish this year. And part of me gets nervous that I'm not going to be back in time for the Quad Cortex. You know, I want to be back before that unit makes its way to my door. Because I'd like to jump out there first. But the Lord is humbling me. You know? You make plans and you say, this is what I'm going to do. And if things outside of your control don't dictate otherwise, then there you go. You are the keeper of your own destiny until you are not. Real men make their own luck. Sometimes that's true. And sometimes you just get dealt a hand. You know? It's funny. The hands always get dealt. You always have a circumstance. And when that circumstance appears positive or neutral, and you succeed, you follow that success with, it's natural in your mind to try to attribute outcomes to actions. You know? I do this all the time in Tone Junkie. Tone Junkie's my business. I do this all the time. Sales are good. Well, I've been doing a lot of YouTube. You know, You know, I'm getting a lot of thank you emails. Well, I've been answering a lot of emails, help emails, and I've been doing videos about the help emails that I get to help people. You know, I've been doing a lot of utility videos. I've been doing this. You know, sales are good. Well, I've been doing a lot of sales. We had a cyber Black Friday, a Cyber Monday. You know what I'm saying? You look for why are sales slow? I haven't been doing enough. I haven't been doing enough videos. I haven't been doing enough podcasting. I put Gary Vee in my ears and I go, failing. I'm failing. Stop failing, HW. The world's not going to profile itself. You got to get out there. Got to go. Come on, do it. But you get dealt a bad hand, a hand that limits you. You know, and, you know, I got my Kemper in about a day ago and I just opened it tonight because the fatigue, man, I just had no energy. But there'll be another day with a lot of energy. I had some energy tonight, so I just opened it. You just do what you can, you know? You just do what you can. And you take the hand that life deals, you know? My father-in-law tonight, my wife sent me a photo. You never seen a skinnier man in your life. He looks like a Holocaust patient in the bed. He looks like a Holocaust patient who went keto. I mean, he looks, you can't even understand how, I never seen a person so skin and bones. And it's frightening when you look at him. But here's what happened. He's hallucinating. They got a fentanyl patch on him and morphine. Stage 5 cancer. He's been on hospice for a long time. Hospice says he'll go any day now. He's hallucinating. And they can see him just looking in front of him. And he starts pointing. And they said, "What do you see, Dad?" He said, "I'm watching the A's play. The Oakland A's." Everybody laughed. And one of his sons said, "Are they winning?" And he said, "No." Maybe he can see the A's. And then he said, "You know what sounds good? A beer." And they laughed. And he said, "Why are you laughing?" So one of his sons went to the store and he got him a beer. And he's got this picture. The man sleeps 23 and a half hours a day. He's kind of in a coma most of the day. But just in that moment, he saw the Oakland A's. And he asked for a beer, and his son got it. And there's this, and in this, and he said, "Take a picture." And he posed for the camera, and he pointed at the camera while he's holding his beer, and his son is kind of giving him the cheers thing. And he looks like a skeleton. He looks dead. But he's watching the A's and drinking a beer. When life gives you stage 5 cancer, you hallucinate about the A's and drink a beer. I mean, I don't know. I don't know what the lesson is, you know? But I know this. I got this COVID thing and some people die. I'm not going to die. Honestly, I haven't been as sick as I've seen some other people be. I'm not as sick as my dad is. What scares me the most is that I'm short of breath and his symptoms have been about a day behind me because he got sick like a day after me. So I'm a little worried about his shortness of breath because he has asthma. So, you know, pray for my dad if you can. But I think you get a choice. You know, like you get a choice. You get a choice to like, you don't get the choice to get COVID. You don't get the choice to get cancer, but you get the choice to like drink a beer on your last day. You know what I mean? That's the thing. You get a choice to worry. You get a choice to say, it's too hard. I'm not gonna profile. Like, you get a choice to say, damn it, I'm stuck here now. Now I can't profile the amps. Everything's ruined. You know, now I might miss the quad cortex. Someone else gonna jump out there first. Tone Junkie's not gonna be the leader in quad cortex. And that's a voice in your head, but you get the choice too to say that's not true. HW's got a beautiful amp collection there, and it's going to get captured, and it's going to get profiled. The world's going to get profiled, and you got a choice to pick up a phone and say, "Hey, British Audio, can I buy a Kemper? Can you send it to me? Hey, Amazon, can you send me a Blues Junior? I got an idea. I can't do the thing I wanted to do, but I can do something." And that produces something else, you know? It doesn't produce the plan you have. It doesn't produce maybe the content that I wanted to make, but it's going to make this other piece of content. You know? And so tomorrow I'm going to try to film half of it. You guys, if you knew how little energy I have, you know, it's a video that shouldn't take me very long to film. I could film it in just like an hour or something normally, but I got no energy, man. The fatigue of this thing is crazy. And it's crazy. It's just no energy. You wake up in the morning and you feel good. You walk down the stairs, you get a cup of coffee. I mean, you're ready. You got to sit down. It's insane. But you get a choice. You know, you can just go, well, I quit. I can't do it. Can't do the stuff. Or you can just do the best you can. You just keep moving forward. It's funny. My dad used to always say that. I hated it. Because as a younger man, I was so hungry. You know, I was so hungry. I worked at his company. I just wanted to be successful, man. I just wanted to make something of myself. You know, I wanted that family business to just rock and roll. Because I wanted to be one of the people that made it, you know? I didn't want to be one of the entrepreneurs that just like, yeah, we got a little business and we struggle forever. You know? Nah, well, I want us to be like, yeah, we made it. We did it. And sometimes I'd be like, oh, but we got to get this done. And he'd be like, well, we got this challenge, you know, this problem. And I go, it's not an option. We got to get it done. And my dad would look at me and go, hey, just do a little bit every day. And I go, a little bit every day? It's going to take forever. It's funny, man. 34, what year was I born? 86, I'm 34, 34-year-old HW, oh my gosh, that's, well, I don't know how I feel about that, 34-year-old HW, man, I guess he figured it out. You just do a little bit each day. If you can't do it all, it's great to jump in feet first, you know, head first. I don't know, what's the saying? It's great to go all in. It's great to go all in, but sometimes all you can do is just tread a little water while you rest up, while you get your breath back up, you know? So, here I am in a house with a Kemper on the table. And, you know, an old Les Paul Jr. that I've had in a closet at my dad's house since I don't know, since I moved away to Nashville, a guitar I kind of forgot about. It's all stock, except it's got some, you know, kind of cheap bridge that I put on it that had intonation. I'm not really sure if it's better with or without it, but that's what's on it. You'll see in a video or something. And that's life. But you know, it really picked me up. It really brightened. It really lifted my spirits here to go online and see that people were talking about the podcast. Because I don't know why I've disconnected lately from it. I don't know. Maybe HW tried to go a little too Hollywood. Sometimes I overthink the content when really I know it's just about documenting. You just gotta, that's what Gary told me. You just gotta document this. You just gotta document your journey. He said, you just gotta pick something that you can never fully do. That's why I profile the world. There's always amps. There's always going to be unique circuits. And then maybe after the Kemper, there's another format. Maybe it's the QC. But now it's going to be QC and Kemper, right? Because QC's already sold all these ones. Even if it's not that good. Here's what people don't get about the QC. Even if it's not that good, people are still going to play it. The Helix is that way. You know? People get mad at me when I say things like this. But you could talk to Brian and Bradford. The newer amps that they are releasing for the Helix are way better than the old ones. That new Princeton sounds 10 times better than the old Deluxe. But no one ever will admit, oh, some of the Helix amps are bad. Some of them are not good. And you can tell they were made like a decade apart, you know? The twin, the Blackface Fender twin in the Helix does not sound that good compared to the new Princeton. Or compared to the Fullerton, the Grammatico one, you know, or one of the newer amps, it just doesn't. It's just the model. Now that's not saying the Helix is bad, but it's saying it's all in how well they capture one of those models, and so they've captured some of them well and some of them not that well, and so that's that. Captured, you know, programmed. And the quad cortex, look, is, I for one didn't quite understand if the captures were as good as Kemper, why were they modeling things? I didn't really get that. That was the part for me where I was like, if the capture tech is as good as you're saying, why model anything? Why not just capture some amps and ship? What are we waiting for? So they modeled some stuff and they're shipping it with 400 captures, and Tone Junkie's just gonna blow it out of the water. I mean, we're just gonna blow. You have no idea. You have no idea. We're just gonna jump out there with the most incredible sounding vintage captures you've ever heard. Listen. I know I'm just some bumbling guy on YouTube. Okay. But HW strategic, you know? Do you think I've been growing an amp collection just because I love the amps? You know, I can do math. You know? I'm a guy who can do math. I'm a guy who said on this podcast how many times why I really like investing in Tesla, right? Why I think... Virgin Galactic's going to be a $50 stock in less than a year, and my cost basis is 16 on that stock. There's a lot of reasons. You can go look them up. Go look up ARK Invest. Look up their analysis, the 13 scenarios, future scenarios for Tesla. And when you realize that out of the 13 possible outcomes for Tesla as a company, the 5 to 10 year trajectory for Tesla, the 13 possibilities based on the 3 or 4 variables that are in front of them. See, Tesla has about 3 or 4 variables that are in front of them that have to do with their success. Lowering cost of manufacturing, lowering cost of and successfully opening, well, let me put it this way, lowering the cost of manufacturing, increasing margin, more efficiently opening plants. And then the two we'll put aside are the autonomous driving network, the rideshare, autonomous rideshare network, and you know, the success of AI or the power home stuff, right? But if we put those aside, if we just ask ourselves a question, what if Tesla can't increase? Oh, the battery technology, breakthrough in battery technology. What happens if Tesla can't improve the margin on their cars? Well, that's one scenario. But the scenarios look like this. What if they can more efficiently build factories than they are now, but they can't improve margin? Well, that's one path for them. What if they can improve margin, but they cannot more efficiently build factories because they've had some trouble building factories? Because no automaker is trying to currently scale like they are, right? So it's not like there's a manual written about this, especially when you have such high automation. And now what's happening is see, the challenge for Tesla, and this is what they say, the challenge for all manufacturers going forward, it's not about making the electric cars. It's about making the machines that make the electric cars. So you have plants that have been online, like NUMMI, for the better part of 12 years. And you have brand new plants that you've just opened, Giga Shanghai, the second half of Giga Shanghai. And the machines that you built to build the machines, right? It's not about the cars. It's about the machines you build to build the machines. Those machines in Giga Shanghai are quite a bit more advanced and different than the ones in NUMMI. So you can always retool NUMMI, but you also now, when you get into Giga Texas and you're going to build the Cybertruck, you're just doing things differently than you did 12 years ago. Now, you might still have a 12-year-old plant that has been automated and is working, and that has been improved. But you're not going to keep improving that plant as quickly as you will develop a new strategy for a future plant. So let's say Tesla doesn't lower their margin, but is better at making factories in the future. Well, that's another possible scenario for their future, and it means something for their success. And let's say they can do this, but capital markets are hard on them, or capital markets are easier on them. Or let's say that happens, both of those things happen for Tesla, better margin, and they're able to open factories more efficiently. However, they fail in autonomous vehicles, and capital markets are not good. You see, there's all these different scenarios that come out when you take each variable and you say true or false. You get all these different scenarios. You want to understand Tesla stock? Go look up ARK Invest's 13 future scenarios for Tesla, and you'll understand. Why did I say all that? I'm winded, actually. Why did I say all that? I said all that because I remember. I wanted to say, you all, I'm not going to get into Virgin Galactic, but Virgin Galactic probably has a $1 billion revenue generator within the next 5 years in their New Mexico plant. In the next year, people are going to say that the idea of space travel is crazy. It'll never happen. And when they say that, I will remember when they said that about the electric car, when they said Elon Musk would not be able to do it, when they said that's ridiculous, cars can't drive themselves, all these things. And now we have people literally on the street right now. The full self-driving beta has people driving on the street today from point A to point B, not just on the freeway anymore like my car does, but from point A to point B, start of trip, end of trip, it gets you there. People are driving autonomous cars right here in the Bay Area right now. Right now. Virgin Galactic is going to get Richard Branson is going to, they're going to say he's an idiot. This will never work. Nobody will want to do it. But all they have to do is send Mr. Beast or PewDiePie into space and let them YouTube it. Let Dan Blitzerian or, I don't know, Jake Paul or something go to space. Take Mike Tyson to space. It's so easy. It's so easy to put people in space, show them having such fun. You know they're going to make you astronauts. So this is Virgin Galactic's thing. They're going to bring you to their New Mexico facility. They're going to put you through training. They will at that time have you certified as a real NASA astronaut. Do you know that anyone can become an astronaut? The only reason not everyone could just become an astronaut is because NASA wasn't going to pay to just train you for nothing. They only were training people they needed for space missions. But the criteria is out there. And NASA is fine certifying any of you to become astronauts, as they're not going to pay for it. You'll pay SpaceX, or you'll pay Virgin Galactic for it. SpaceX is putting the real astronauts up there. Virgin Galactic is going to offer you the ability to take a 3 to 4 day trip where you train for 48 hours on the ground and then you go to space for 2 days. And eventually, they're going to put a space cruise ship in orbit, something like the International Space Station, only you're going to get to go, and I bet there's going to be blackjack. I mean, it's going to be like a cruise ship. You're going to get to go to space and watch Space Blue Man Group. They're going to have Hamilton being performed in space. You guys, it's happening right now. I was buying that stock at $16. It's almost $30 now. It went up to $40. It fell a while back. It went up to almost, went up into the 26 and whatever, fell back down. I don't have a cost, but I started buying at 16, but I think I have a cost base actually of like 18 or 19. I have to look because I bought some shares a little higher. Anyway, that stock's going to run to $50. And I don't know that I want to be in it long term, but we'll see. I love investing in stuff that just, it just changes the way people live in the future. You know, is that not a good strategy for investing? Find the companies that change the way people live. The companies that do things that people say that can't be done. But if you listen to what they say they're going to do, it changes the way people live. And then you got to ask yourself, can they do it? Are they having success? And is that what they're describing? Is that something that is going to change people's lives for the better so much that you can predict people will want it? Go rent. Listen, I went on Turo on this trip and I rented a Porsche Cayenne GT. I rented it because it was only $80 a day to rent that car. So I rented it for this trip because I couldn't find a Model X that I wanted to rent. And $80 a day was actually very cheap. I don't know why the guy had the car so cheap. I think because it was like a day before the holidays and nobody had rented it. And he was just thinking, I got to rent this car out for the holidays. It was a guy who rents Porsches on Turo. If you don't know, Turo is an app in which you can, it's like Uber for rental cars. So I rent this car. I drove this Porsche for like 3 or 4 days out here. And you guys, it's not anywhere close to as good as my Model 3. And my Model 3 is so much cheaper than this Porsche Cayenne. It's so ridiculous. The Model X that I rented a couple weeks ago is so much better than the Porsche Cayenne. It did everything. This is the Porsche Cayenne GT, 0 to 60 in 4.6 seconds. The X was 0 to 60 in 3.6 seconds. They both had variable suspension. I could raise and lower suspension while driving the car. The Teslas had the same thing, but it didn't take up all this space on the dash. Like, you know, in the Tesla, I get in, I literally adjust like five things: my seat, my mirrors, my heat. The suspension, the acceleration idea. You know, the Porsche has chill, or it had what did it have? Yeah, it had chill, sport, and sport plus. The Tesla's got, of course, chill, sport, ludicrous, and ludicrous plus. Then there's different steering modes. All of these things on the Porsche has its own button, okay? And so the Porsche had this enormous center console thing with just buttons and flip switches and all this stuff. And it was fine, but it took me forever to figure out how to work this stuff. And you know what? You know what I love? In the Tesla, I literally set all that stuff one time and I hit save at the top. And that was my driver profile. And then anytime I came at it with my key, my phone, or anytime I sat in the car, I could hit one button and it changed all of those things for me. It instantly changed the car to be how I want it. So if my wife wants the acceleration to feel like her minivan and be on chill, great. If I want to have it on ludicrous, because I want to go 0 to 60 in 3.6 seconds, I can do that. If I want, sports steering, so it feels like a BMW 3 Series really hugging the road, and my wife wants a little more of, she doesn't want it so tight and jerky and rumbly, she just wants it to feel like her minivan. She can do that. And all you got to do is either press one button or it recognizes you via Bluetooth. It's so silly to me how much better it is. You know, I got in this Porsche, by the way. I click a button and I was so excited about this car. I was like, this is a Porsche. I got to show my buddy. I got a couple buddies who are car guys out here. You guys know me. I'm not a car guy. I'm really into Tesla. I'm not a car guy. I get in the car and I go, let me put in my address. I start putting in the address. Have you ever seen these systems where you put in one number in the address and then what it does is it grays out some of the letters? It grays it out because in its head, it has a list of all the possible addresses you could be entering. And when it doesn't have one in the database anymore, it grays out the letter. That's the stupidest thing I've ever... Why do they do that? It's... No computer works that way. Anyway, 2016 Porsche Cayenne GT. I enter the address to this Airbnb. It won't find it. I finally just had to pull out my iPhone and put it in, and I go, "This is ridiculous. This is a beautiful Italian machine, and they can't freaking get a GPS right." And here's the thing: I can't change that in the car. I can't change that out. That's built into the car. There's no way to update that. There's no way to figure that out. I mean, there's no over-the-air updates. The Tesla, I literally can say, "Take me to this address," or I punch it in. It doesn't gray out letters and not let me input something. It lets me input my search query, hit search, and then boom, it goes, I found an exact match, or I didn't find exact match, but here's something that might be related to your query. That's how a search function works. What is Porsche doing? I don't know. Being a bunch of knuckleheads, that's what they're doing. And honestly, it's just the engine sounded great, but you guys, I would pay more for my Model 3 and I don't have to. I don't know anyone who drives a Tesla who then goes and gets another car and goes, "Oh, I want this other car instead." My wife and I's only debate we have right now is when to replace the van with a Tesla. And every now and then she says, "Well, is it really though for the for road trips and stuff, are we okay with that?" But the new S and X's have 400-mile ranges. I'm okay waiting, you know, another 2 or 3 years and waiting for 600-mile ranges. And at that point, going 600-mile range, it's actually now faster for road trips that are less than one tank of gas to drive an electric car there, because you don't even have to stop for gas as often as you would in a car, which means I can make the trip without stopping for gas and then charge when I get there. And with supercharger installation, you know, it's just getting easier and easier to find level one chargers. So here we are. What did we learn? this episode of the Tone Junkie podcast. I said all that to say this. That's the kind of stuff that fascinates me, and that's where I put my money. Right now, those are my two biggest holdings, Tesla and SpaceX. Why do I keep saying SpaceX? I'm trying to say Virgin Galactic. It's because I want to say SPCE, because that's the ticker symbol. So Virgin and Space is usually what I call it. But they say confusion is one of the symptoms. I might be a little confused. What I meant to say was Tesla and space are my two biggest holdings. Actually, I shouldn't say that. Tesla and S&P funds, some various S&P 500 funds, which is what you should do, by the way. Don't take stock tips from me. Just go buy SPY and live a good life. Oh, it's funny. If I keep talking fast, I don't feel short of breath. And what I have this amp collection because I knew this would happen. Listen, it's not just them. There'll be another capture tech after this. And there'll be another capture tech after that. And I don't know if there's some patent or what, but it's going to get out there. And that's going to be it. Capturing things is going to be the new thing. And if you don't think Kemper's working on the next thing. Oy. Trust me, they're hard at work. They know what comes next for them. They know what needs to come next. But they're not going anywhere. Stu G just called me. He's playing with Vince Gill right now. He's using the Tweed Bassman. He said all the sound guys loved his tone. And, you know, why shouldn't they? Why shouldn't they? Look, I can start a vintage amp collection, and I can collect some of the very best amps I've ever been able to have my hands on, you know, and I can capture them all now. I can capture them all for the Quad Cortex, for the Kemper, for whatever. I'm always going to bleed green, by the way. The Quad Cortex, I'm guessing, is not going to quite feel as good as the Kemper. That's just my guess. I played the Quad Cortex at NAMM. It was an early one. Ugh. I didn't fall in love, but it was so early, I have to reserve judgment. You know what I'm saying? It was just like one delay, one verb. And I think the unit that was running only had one processor, not four. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, it was showing like a skeleton of what the unit would be. We're going to see, you know, how it lives up in the real world. And I think it's going to have a lot of fans. And I think it's gonna be big. I really do. And I think it is a new era for tone and guitar. And I have some plans for Tone Junkie. Control is still an illusion. Tragedy could befall me, or it won't. And if it won't, I'll do the things in my control. And whoa, HW is going to capture stuff. Wow. And if it does, well. Well, then you cross that bridge, you know? Control is an illusion. And life is what you make of it. Yeah. You know, I got to keep doing these because this is where I feel like I really come out. This is where you get the real me. I got to go check on my dad. I've been HW. Thank you so much for listening to Tone Junkie Podcast, episode 87. Love you guys. More episodes before the year's over. I promise. Say a prayer for me if you would. I'd like to get better quickly. But how can I not be thankful? You know, I still got to do Thanksgiving with my family, you know, at a table in a house. My family brought food for us. We had turkey and ham and stuffing and yams and, you know, we had half a pumpkin pie. We split it with somebody else. And, and some people just don't, they don't have that, you know? And so I thank God that my kids have no symptoms. And I thank God I haven't been more sick. And I thank God my wife hasn't been more sick. And I thank God that my father-in-law is still alive so that my wife will be able to see him. Because that's what we came out here for her to see him. And when we got coronavirus, it meant she had to separate. So, life is still good. And one day when I come to my end, I hope I ask for a corona. That's the best thing you can do. I've been HW. See y'all later.